Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Tell you what's hitting me worse than coronavirus right now.
What's that?
Ray.
Yeah.
If we get any more rain where I live.
Yeah.
It's
been raining there for months, hasn't it?
Yeah.
The rain's driving me insane. I've thought about that for a country song. Yeah. And it's been raining since November.
The rain on the plane is driving me insane.
Probably in July I'll be complaining because we can't get any rain. But anyway, just seems like the last 3 years, obviously due to man-made global climate change, we've been getting more rain than normal. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman, Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening. If you want to go on today's issues on American Family Radio, watch us online and see the stories that we post there. Go to Facebook or YouTube and type in today's issues, and we thank all our Facebook viewers and YouTube viewers. Steve Jordahl joins us from the news studio a few yards away here.
Feels like it's raining all over the world.
Who sang that?
I'm trying to remember.
Who sang that, Ray?
I never heard it before.
Really? I'll look it up. When you were talking about that, it just came to me. I didn't know you were going to ask me to cite it.
What did you say, Ray? Something about the rain in Spain?
The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain, isn't it?
That's from My Fair Lady.
That's right. That's the one I know.
Really?
And Singing in the
Rain. I thought that was just like a nursery rhyme or something. that's from an actual Broadway play.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
My song, song that I started singing is called "Rainy Night in Georgia." It's a rainy night in Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well,
rainy night. You talk about making a song out of anything, any situation.
Yeah.
Well,
rainy night in Georgia.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Boss Gags, sure. Ray Charles, Conway Twitty, all covered that.
Always bring me down.
That's
I think
right.
It's Karen,
there you go.
I think it's what Karen Carpenter said. Yep. You know, raindrops keep falling on our head.
Oh, my
head.
DJ Thomas.
Go ahead, Steve. Let's get to some legitimate news.
Well, you know, there's a tension rising in this country. You guys might have spoken a little bit about this in the first hour about how soon we can open up and is it safe and where does the line cross between the number of deaths we're going to have to cooperate, to accept, as opposed to the financial distress. And I brought a couple examples of some of that frustration showing, and I'd like to play them for you so get your thoughts. I'd like to start here. You know, every day we see New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is sitting at a desk in New York City, and the networks, who are all based in New York, figure it's national news for us all to see what New York is going through. So they air his conferences. And a reporter asked a question of him, asked Governor Cuomo, the unemployment checks are a little late getting out, and some people are desperate for money. They think they're not going to be able to make it. What do you say to them? I want you to hear a little bit of the question and what Governor Cuomo had for an answer. Cut one.
They're out of money.
Yeah, we're talking about a couple of days lag on the unemployment insurance, and they will get the check from the date of unemployment. It does not cost them an extra penny. Now, they can say unemployment insurance isn't enough. I get it. Even with the $600 check and the $1,200 check and the unemployment insurance benefit is not enough. I understand the economic hardship. We all feel it.
Is there a fundamental right to work if the government can't get me the money when I need it? Is there
you
a fundamental
want to go, by the way,
right to
you want to go to
work?
Go take a job as an essential worker. Do it tomorrow. Right? You're working.
I am.
You're an essential worker. So go take a job as an essential worker. So now you can go to work and you can be an essential worker and you're not going to kill anyone.
You know what this proves? This proves if any of us talk too long.
Yep.
If any of us talk too long, we're eventually going to get
right.
that foot.
That's right.
And bring it all the way up to our mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's a human trait. And I don't think, and I know people may disagree with me, I don't think that Governor Cuomo meant that just starve then. Basically, So that could be interpreted. If you don't want to get a job as an essential worker, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
But I think he said it. Ray said it wrong, and it sounded completely insensitive. So go ahead. Anything else to add to that?
Me? Yeah. Well, I just
You are Ray. Go ahead, Steve.
Me or Ray? Ray, do you have anything to say about that?
Wow. Yeah, you know, it just reminds me what the famous what Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake.
Right.
Yeah, go. Just go be an essential worker. It's no big deal.
Or the California version, let them eat ice cream.
Right. Right.
That was a good one, Steve.
You know,
that was really good.
This is the question. I don't know why people aren't asking this question, but this blanket shutdown, someone needs to be asking questions. What about these businesses who have like 5 people in? How on earth is having 5 to 10 employees in a building going to make things spread beyond everybody's control? I mean, if we want to stop the basketball arenas of 50,000 people, you know, everybody touching the handrails, if we want to stop that until the fall, you know, I think we're on board with that. But the blanket shutdown and then telling people just to get on unemployment and
listen,
be quiet.
New York doesn't have a right to say a whole lot to anybody else in the country when you have never shut down your subways.
Right.
Hmm. Well, the tension's rising up west, out west as well. CNN's Anderson Cooper was on with the Las Vegas mayor. Her name is Carolyn Goodman. And Carolyn Goodman wants to open up Las Vegas. And Anderson Cooper doesn't think that's a very good idea. Listen to their interchange to Cut 5.
You're talking about encouraging hundreds of thousands of people to come to Las Vegas in casinos, smoking, drinking, touching slot machines, breathing circulated air. Doesn't that sound like a virus petri dish? I mean, how is that?
No, what it sounds like, you're being an alarmist. I'm not. I've lived a long life. I grew up in the heart of Manhattan. I know what it's like to be with subways and on buses.
You're the one saying you'll all be fine. What we're saying is testing and contact.
You're putting words in my mouth. I said, open up.
Chinese researchers have shown how this virus spreads. And I just want to put up for our viewers, this is a restaurant.
Anderson, you are tough.
No, I'm not
we're
talking
back
just,
to China. This isn't China. Yeah, this is Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. Okay, that's really ignorant. This is a restaurant, and the
that's
yellow circle,
to say
that's an ignorant, that, ignorant statement.
Not having
what
a
What was
good
ignorant?
Day. Wow. That Anderson Cooper wanted to bring up China's example of what they're doing.
You know, when he said China researchers, we all started laughing.
I know.
Right. And she right. did too.
Yep.
CNN's Anderson Cooper wants to refer to Chinese researchers as a source on how to treat the coronavirus. And they may be right, but they're not a good – not right now. You don't need to chat Chinese researchers
and then tell
this – you see the mayor?
That was the mayor of Las Vegas.
Tell the mayor that she's wow, that you're ignorant. I mean
– you know what we're not hearing? We're not hearing one person. I haven't heard one individual that has lost their job that is cheerleading the shutdown. Anderson Cooper's still getting a paycheck.
Sure.
All these media hosts, all these journalists, they're still getting paychecks. I want to hear one
person.
As are
the government leaders.
I want to hear one person that has had their livelihood destroyed.
Say, I'm all for that.
Say, keep it shut down. I don't want my job back. I just want to be on unemployment for the rest of my life.
But I'm staying safe.
Right.
Right.
If AOC has her way, that's probably what she wants everybody to do. This is the most remarkable thing I've heard in a long time.
Even more than Anderson Cooper just said?
I think so, okay. Because this is an example of AOC being a lot out of touch and kind of wanting to use this coronavirus thing as an excuse to put an agenda forward. Let's listen to Cut 3.
When we talk about this idea of reopening society, you know, only in America does the president, when the president tweets about liberation, does he mean go back to work? When we, you know, have this discussion about going back or reopening, I think a lot of people should just say, no, we're not going back to that. We're not going back to working 70-hour weeks just so that we could put food on the table and not even feel any sort of semblance of security in our lives.
This is Sarah Huckabee also Sanders a here. Person who may want to go back to her roots and remember that
most Americans, unlike those in Congress, have to show up in order to get paid. She might want to go back and remember that when she was a bartender and not a member of Congress, she didn't have that luxury. She had to show up to do her job in order to get a paycheck. And there are millions of Americans that are like that, that need that paycheck.
Yep.
I see. That's wow. That's all the more reason we all need to contribute to AOC's campaign.
She can keep talking.
She needs to be reelected. Why people, why conservatives would want her defeated is beyond me. Because she's the gift that keeps on giving right there.
Indeed.
You know, yeah. If you cut the pay to all of our elected officials, and I'm not saying we should do this, but if you cut the pay to all of our elected officials until they get back to work, until Congress gets back to D.C., they'd be the first ones to be championing, and except for the ones who rely on donations from big corporations to their campaigns. But the rest of them who don't have many other jobs other than being in Congress or maybe own small businesses.
Well, this is a history. You remember the Congress exempted itself from Obamacare.
That's right.
They have a history of not living under the laws that they pass.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In some cases. But anyway, ALC, good old ALC. So we've got the hit parade today, Steve.
We do. I got another hit for you too. We got a campaign going on. Don't forget, there's an election coming up in November. All things going okay.
What is November?
November is the presidential election.
I mean, what is it? Is it like a month that we're going to get to in 6 years, or what?
What day is it anyway?
You don't understand. November. I don't understand what you're asking me.
You failed to get my humor, Steve.
First time ever I failed, because your humor is pretty obvious. It's pretty good.
Continue on.
Well, anyway, Brett Hume was talking to his colleagues about the campaign, and he's saying he thinks Democrats have a little bit, they're kind of getting worried about Joe Biden. Cut six.
Well, I think that Democrats have to be worried about Biden. You know, he did very well, I think it's fair to say, in his last debate with Bernie Sanders. It was his best performance in ages.
Yes.
But since then, he's been having a hard time keeping his thoughts together and being able to, you know, say what he needs to say. I have no doubt about what the problem is. I'm about the same age as he is, and I experience the same kind of memory problems he does. I think he's senile, and I don't think there can be much doubt about it. It's not necessarily crippling, but it doesn't help. And I think, you know, people who look at that, people come to that conclusion, they may be hesitant to put him in the White House.
He went there.
What? He said he's senile.
He said he's senile.
What is I've been seeing a word used, an expression used to say senile in a different way that people don't want to say he's got dementia, so they say he's got cognitive they use the word cognitive anyway, like
cognitive disorder.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a PC way of saying he's losing his mind.
Right.
Okay. Senility is that just a general? Right. I'm not saying
that's
you're senile, right?
That's a general term. That's that's not a medical term, right?
Okay. That's what I'm asking. Isn't that just a layman's term, Steve?
Right. To my understanding, it is. Yes.
Say somebody's senile.
Yeah, because you can have senility if you have dementia, if you have Alzheimer's. All of these lead to some form of senility. I think Ray's right.
Yeah.
Or you're right.
Well, I think it's clear as Brett Hume just said that former Vice President Joe Biden has got serious problems there, and they manifest themselves on a regular basis, and I think that cognitive dissonance.
There you go.
Dissonance. What does dissonance mean?
It means clashes. It isn't harmonic.
Okay. That's the way a lot of the media describe him as having cognitive dissonance. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, because whoever he chooses as his candidate, should Biden be elected, will be the next president.
Well, and maybe in shorter time than 4 years.
Is there anything to these articles we see popping up about him choosing Michelle Obama?
No.
No?
No.
Nothing to that?
I've shot down Ed on that one many times. Ed Battagliano, my dear brother.
Well, the articles, Tim, keep popping up, not from our side, but from the Democrat.
Oh, they would love to have her.
Oh,
They would love to have that Obama name, Michelle Obama.
Sure. I mean, it makes sense.
Michelle Obama. But listen, Valerie Jarrett, her close friend, said yesterday, Michelle Obama's close friend, she's not going to be on the ticket because, listen, you talk about a step down. She is a world jet setter now. Of course, can't get on a jet now and set very many places, but she is on yachts with George Clooney and company.
Yeah,
you got homes in the Hamptons and or Martha's Vineyard, wherever they bought that home near the ocean that will be underwater in 10 years, and homes in D.C. and Chicago and Hawaii. I mean, they are killing it with speaking and money and movies and Netflix and everything like that. You're talking about that's not even a lateral move to go
right.
For her to go to right. being. And can you imagine her going, having to answer for Biden's daily faux pas and examples of cognitive dissonance out there on the campaign trail, Michelle Obama? So that's a long way of saying not going to happen. Raybert, you were. That was good to bring it up because it is.
We're going to keep bringing it up from time to time, Tim, because these articles keep popping up for all the reasons you've just said. People look at Joe Biden and they go, there is no way.
No way.
You imagine what Trump will do to him in a debate?
No.
Yeah.
No, Barack Obama, if Michelle brings it up to him, is going to say, you're kidding. You're kidding. You're not going to run.
I wouldn't.
You're not going to run with Joe. You want to talk to him on the phone? Talk to him for 5 minutes. Here. Here's the phone. Call Joe. Talk to him in 5 minutes, and then tell me you want to run with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll talk about it. Anyway, Michelle Obama has also expressed no interest in policy. Much.
Right.
No interest in. She doesn't have a. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but now her name would carry a lot of weight. There's no arguing there, and I think that's why. And that's why they want her on the. Joe Biden would welcome her as a person on the ticket, but I just don't see it happening. Go ahead, Steve.
I wonder if Joe Biden can pick Michelle Obama, that she he gets the nomination. If he gets elected, then she resigns. He invites Bernie Sanders to become his vice president, and then a la Gerald Ford, then Joe Biden resigns.
Then Bernie
becomes president without having won an election.
Oh, where would that
be? That's kind of what happened in the 70s with Gerald Ford.
True.
He was never elected and ended up being president of the United States. I have to give a shout out to my colleague in journalism, CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, because he has been really suffering. He was diagnosed with coronavirus a while back, and he had to quarantine himself in his basement for 14 days. He stayed in his basement. He was good enough to share with the world the moment he came out of his basement. Listen to this, cut two.
All right, here it is, the official reentry from the basement, cleared by CDC, a little sweaty, just worked out, it happens. This is what I've been dreaming of, literally for weeks. My wife, she was cleared by the CDC. She doesn't have fever. She doesn't have the symptoms anymore. More than 7 days from her quarantine. This is the dream, just to be back up here doing normal things.
So 14 days, and man, he really, we hadn't seen him in 14 days, except for the bicyclist that he got in a fight with about like 6 days ago.
During his quarantine.
Right.
Oh, I get it. Y'all are saying he's acting like he's been in prison when he's been out riding his bike on the
beach.
That's
right.
It's so noble. We get to see him reunited with his family.
That's right.
Yeah.
He went to somebody else's house
in
the Hamptons.
Come on, man. Good night.
Will you call CNN fake news? There's a reason do that.
They've been lecturing America about how we need to stay in our house don't go to the grocery store.
Good night.
And here he is out miles away from his house in the Hamptons running into a biker while he's got the virus.
Come on.
He even admitted to it. He
like a reality show or something,
yeah,
isn't it?
There's a police report.
It's like WWE.
We come a long way since Bernard Shaw was this... you know.
This is CNN. Well,
Bernard Shaw was the anchor, but that was, what was that actor's
name? James Earl Jones.
Yeah, James Earl Jones. Right. This is CNN.
This is CNN.
All right, Steve.
So we've been talking a little bit about the rise. If we have football in the fall, looks like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What do you mean if?
Okay, when we have football in the fall.
You show more faith.
Okay.
Speak it, Steve.
I speak it. There will be football.
Thank you.
College football and pro football. And it looks like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, we've been talking about them. They have they've acquired Tom Brady. Rob Gronkowski is also on the roster. Yeah, so they're going to have a good time. So it was interesting, just this week, you know, Brady's got to go down and he's got to meet his coaches and get set, right? Yeah. Yeah. So he was going to go to his offensive coordinator's home, and he was going to the guy's name is Byron Leftwich, which I think was associated with the in the day was a coach or a player.
He played at Marshall, and then he played in
Carolina
with the Jaguars.
Yeah. Okay, Jaguars. Yeah,
Leftwich. I think he's probably younger than Brady. Brady just got his AARP card.
Well, Brady was going to Leftwich's house, and so he doesn't even knock on the door. He just opens the door of the house, walks in, sets down his duffel bag, and the guy on the couch turns around, and it's not Brian Leftwich. He walked into the wrong house.
Oh, man.
How would you feel if you're sitting on your couch, and all of a sudden you turn around, and Tom Brady is standing in your living room?
I'd feel like this coronavirus is getting crazy.
There may be some,
it's making me hallucinate. Honey, come here. Look, is that Tom Brady in our den?
That's right.
I'd make him pay before he left.
Well, no, I'd get an autograph, maybe.
Right?
This really happened?
Yes.
So Tom Brady, quarterback for the Patriots, everybody knows who he is. He's got his duffel bag. He's going to meet his new coach for his new team for the first time, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And so he's invited him over to his house, the coach has. So Brady goes over but goes in the wrong house and sits down in the wrong den.
Yeah, well, he doesn't sit down. He looks he sees David Kramer, who owns that house, and it looks remarkably, they say, a lot like Leftwich's house. But he stood at the door. He looked at Kramer. Kramer looked at him, and they were kind of stunned looking at each other. And then Brady goes, am I in the wrong house?
Did he not knock?
No. He was invited over, and I guess Leftwich said, just come on in, and, you know, I'll be down in the den, whatever.
He's Tom Brady. He doesn't have to knock.
Well, does that count on his stat sheet as an interception?
As a fumble? Or
is that a turnover?
I think that might be. First official act in Tampa Bay.
Nice.
I might have said, look, Tom, like I know him personally. Just give me $1,000.
Right.
You can leave.
Right. And nobody will ever find out
about this.
Nobody
will know about this. This didn't happen.
Yeah, you know who's looking for
I would have probably got out my phone and just started FaceTiming everybody I knew.
Yeah, I know.
Hey,
right?
You're not going to believe
Hello,
this.
World,
who's in
here.
My den?
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
You got 30. You got 20 seconds, Steve.
I 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Stocks are up. It's not a funny thing, but it looks like it's going to be a good day on the stock market today
if
no bad news comes. It's
better than being down.
Yep.
Stock market up.
Stock market down.
Stock market down.
Feels like it's raining all over the world.
All right, we have to look that song up. I have heard that, but I don't remember who sang it. All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Our thanks to Steve Jordahl and Fred Jackson from the AFR News team. Bringing us vital and important Tom Brady updates here on today's issue. Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
And our thanks to our producer, Brent Creeley. All right, today's Thursday, so what does that mean? Trivia Friday tomorrow. So Ed and JJ will be here. I'll be here. We'll have a good time. We'll see you in 23 hours. Take care, everybody.